Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, February 5, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe Central Bank Governor John Magujka says any salary increments in the country at this stage will choke the ailing economy, projected to grow this year by at least 3%.
Instead of now salary increases, this time around, let's adjust our prices because there is now the change. So the change is now trying to cause you to reduce your prices so we can become competitive.
Movement for Democratic Change founding President Morgan Tsvangirai today urged the churches to speak out against the human rights violations and other injustices in Zimbabwe without taking sides in political issues.
And when the church starts speaking on behalf of those citizens about their needs and about their problems, it is almost considered as political. But really, what should be happening is that that's exactly what the church should be doing.
And ZANU-PF says the conflict about lawmaker Munyaradzi Kereke's eligibility as a member of parliament has been resolved and will not be further entertained.
Zimbabwe's Central Bank Governor John Mangudya says any salary increments in the country at this stage will choke the ailing economy, projected to grow this year by at least 3%. Mangudya believes that what is needed right now are price adjustments, which will ultimately lower the cost of living. Studio 7's Sandra Nyaira reports.
Speaking at a breakfast meeting organized by the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce in the country's second largest city of Bulawayo today, Mangujka said the current industrial production levels cannot sustain any salary increases.
Instead of now salary increases, let's now have the price go down. So what from a dollar you can buy more. It's better than having salary increases. Both business also increase what? The prices. This time around, let's adjust our prices because there is now the change. So the change is now trying to cause you to reduce your prices so we can become competitive. Once we become competitive, it means come and don't close.
The governor of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe noted that price markups are unreasonably high in an economy that is largely driven by the informal sector. He also said there is hope for price adjustments since the country recently introduced bond coins to enable people to get proper change whenever they buy goods.
Oh, yeah, because we use too much zip dollars. We now think that 5 cents is nothing. Because we use what? To the quintillions. There is no country without coins. Go to Europe, they got 80 pieces of coins. Our markups in this country are high. Because in terms of pricing, we round them up. Because we never changed before. So we're rounding up the prices.
Although some retailers have welcomed the bond coins, which were minted in South Africa at a cost of $50 million, a large number of Zimbabweans have rejected them, saying they are an attempt by the government to reintroduce the defunct local currency. The coins have been welcomed by some commuter bus operators in Bulawayo, where, according to Bulawayo United Passenger Transport Association Chairman Albert Ncube, who told the meeting that the coins are competing with South African coins.
As combi operators, we've accepted and grown to love the bond coins because of their value, they are equal to the US dollar. But unfortunately, we are seeing very little of these bond coins. Not that they are in short supply, but as you will recall, since 2009, when the dollarization started, we never experienced the challenges of change in this part of the country. Because of our proximity to South Africa, we have a lot of rand coins. So we are still getting rand coins and we are not getting the bond coins, which we love so much.
Speaking at the same meeting, Deputy Industry Minister Chiratidzo Iris Mabua said it is pleasing that some companies that benefited from the $40 million Distressed and Marginalized Industries Fund are beginning to pick up.
I get opportunities to meet with the various state sectors. I'm still continuing to meet with the various sectors, and I'm also taking the opportunity to tour some companies. And there is a lot of encouraging work from those companies that benefited out of the commonly, it is talked about, DMAF, the fund that was created in 2011. Those companies that were managed by judicial managers are the ones that have grown the cake.
The Zimbabwean economy is receding at an alarming pace due to lack of foreign direct investment, fears over the country's Black Economic Empowerment Program that compels the foreign-owned businesses to transfer majority stakes to locals, and lack of capital to revive industries, among other issues. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., I'm Sandra Nyaira.
Movement for Democratic Change founding president Morgan Tsvangirai today urged churches to speak out against human rights violations and other injustices in Zimbabwe without taking sides in political issues. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Speaking at a three-day church seminar convened by an organization calling itself Build Africa, Mr. Tsvangirai said church leaders should not keep quiet when people's rights were being violated, adding that members of the clergy should remain apolitical.
When your citizens start asking, but why should we live this life of poverty, of deprivation? And when the church starts speaking on behalf of those citizens about their needs and about their problems, it is almost considered as political. But really, what should be happening is that that's exactly what the church should be doing.
Speaking at the same occasion, a member of the Evangelical Fellowship of Zimbabwe, Gudul Siana, said the major problem in Zimbabwe is that politicians tend to usurp the powers of the church.
I think the church should be involved in anything that affects people because of its mandate from Jesus Christ, taking being shepherds of the flock. I don't think we will be good shepherds if we allow our flock to be vulnerable to the vagaries of politics. And for me, so I don't have a problem with the interaction of church and state. I have a problem when politicians of the government want to usurp the mandate of the church and vice versa.
Mr. Tsvangirai said it was disheartening that churches remained quiet in the post-independence era when atrocities such as those committed by the North Korean-trained 5 Brigade, commonly known as Gukurahundi, were committed only for them to condemn the actions later.
In some of the atrocities that were very prevalent in this country, and it is that complicity and the silence around that complicity that is a blemish on the church. There was Gukurahundi, where civilians were massacred. There was the post-2008 runoff election, state-sponsored violence.
Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, who was expected to share the platform with Mr. Tsvangirai, did not turn up after President Robert Mugabe, who arrived back from Ethiopia yesterday and slipped at the airport after addressing his followers, called an emergency cabinet meeting. Cabinet meetings are normally held on Tuesday. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, in an interview with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, the former Prime Minister speaks about promises made by the MDCT following its electoral congress late last year and related issues.
Promise massacre. Who said that? We said that we are going to mobilize Zimbabwe to put pressure on the regime to make the necessary changes. That's what we are now planning. And besides, Zulu, if action is a strategy, how do you expect me to reveal the strategy? And why should there be appetite for a strategy that is organized by the MDC? It's our own, and we'll execute when the time comes and whenever it is necessary.
Turning to your rivals, Mr. Tsvangirai, your party has also been saying that it wants to recall some members of parliament. Are you still pressing ahead with this action?
Yes, we are pressing ahead with that action. I've been briefed that all the papers are now ready, if they have not been filed already. But we will definitely institute measures to recall all the MPs who have now changed the ship and who are now in another political formation, because they did not go to parliament under those formations. They went to parliament under MDCT, and we expect them to honor their commitment and their faith as committed by their oath that they signed to the MDC. But in the event that I change political parties, I will resign my seat. Now, that's what we are going to proceed on.
For lack of a better word, you recall them and then you boycott the by-elections.
Don't keep on coming to the word boycott. We are not boycotting anything. It's your very favorite word, but we are not boycotting anything. We are saying conditions for free and fair election before a free and fair election is conducted. That's not a boycott. Boycott means we don't want to participate regardless, you know?
But if there are no reforms and these MPs are recalled, are you not handing ZANU-PF the advantage?
Well, don't theorize and don't be hypothetical. The same question applies. Would the conditions be there for us to accept participating in that particular process? We'll see when that comes.
And what do you think about the wrangles in ZANU-PF, Mr. Tsvangirai? Can ZANU-PF really exist beyond Mr. Mugabe, looking forward, say, to 2018?
As far as I am concerned, they have their own problems. They should sort out their own problems. And if they are not able to resolve their own differences internally, it will be good for the MDC. Because people will see exactly which party is going to provide the leadership the country needs.
But are you willing to work with the likes of Didmus Mutasa and Maim Juru?
They are ZANU-PF. I don't work with ZANU-PF. It's even premature to ask me whether I should be able to work with Maim Juru or Mutasa. Because you presuppose that they've got out of ZANU-PF and therefore they are looking for partners outside ZANU-PF.
That was MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
ZANU-PF says the conflict about lawmaker Munyara Zikereke's eligibility as a member of parliament has been resolved and will not be further entertained. Kereke contested the 2013 election as an independent after ZANU-PF opted for another candidate, Elias Musakwa, who he beat. After winning the election, ZANU-PF then approached the electoral court seeking his ouster, but he maintained that he had won the election as an independent and the case was later settled out of court. On Wednesday, MDCT Chief Whip Innocent Gonese asked House Speaker Jacob Mudenda to chuck Kereke out of the August House since he had confirmed rejoining ZANU-PF, thus effectively meaning that his seat should be up for grabs. However, ZANU-PF Chief Whip Joram Gumbo tells Studio 7 the dispute has been between Kereke and ZANU-PF and was settled, rendering the MDC argument that he is a stranger in the house null and void.
Any other disagreements which would be there would be sorted out between Kereke and ZANU-PF. Therefore, ZANU-PF withdrew its case from the Constitutional Court and opted for an out-of-court settlement, whereby we had to agree to say Kereke had been duly elected as a member of parliament for ZANU-PF. And that remains the provision. And we withdrew our letter to say we're withdrawing our support from Kereke. So Kereke is a duly elected member on the ZANU-PF ticket because of that technicality. So it's a clear matter. Gonese should not have wasted this time standing up to say there is a stranger in the house, because he's not a stranger at all. That is the dispute that is between Kereke and ZANU-PF, and it's already sorted out. So there is no disagreement, and there is no stranger in the house. They are only elected, and the duly elected eligible members of parliament, including Kereke in the house.
So can we draw a parallel with the case of MDC, where they were told that the members who had crossed the floor were no longer members of parliament?
There is no parallel at all. You are talking of members of the MDC, if they cross the line, that is their matter with their members to find out who really remain MDC and who are not members.
And that was ZANU-PF Parliamentary Chief Whip Joram Gumbo speaking with Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
Meanwhile, political analyst Pilani Zamchia says the Zimbabwe civil society is in a sorry state and unable to play its watchdog role provide civic education, and mobilize citizens to push the country towards a democratic agenda. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Speaking during a meeting organized by the Zimbabwe Election Support Network to discuss the just-ended Zambian elections, Zamchia said, while in Zambia, the civil society had done well in watching the democratic conduct of those who wanted to take power, this was not happening in this country, which is preparing for by-elections in Chirumanzu and Mount Darwin. He said, civic organizations tend to conduct issues like voter education as a once-off matter.
But with this state civil society is in, that once-off event doesn't even, is not even laced with any energies. There's depletion of energies.
He said Zimbabwe must have a strong civil society that creates conscious citizens who do not have to be told to register to vote. He said lack of civic education in Zimbabwe has also been largely because of most of the civic education has been conducted in urban areas and growth points, leaving out many people in remote areas. Zamchia said the major difference between the civil society in Zambia and Zimbabwe is that local civic organizations are bent on creating voters instead of citizens.
Once you create a citizen, you then get everything. Citizens can hold local authorities to account. They can be able to initiate development programs. They can be able, you know, to do even civic education themselves. They can be able to register to vote.
Zimbabwe Elections Resource Center Director Tawanda Chimini echoed the same sentiment, saying it was imperative for civil society to invest in the creation of responsible citizens.
There's been a significant influence or a significant emphasis around broad voter education, which is basically giving out information around what one requires for one to register to vote.
Chimini noted that Zimbabwe has a lot to learn from Zambia, saying the Electoral Commission in Zimbabwe's northern neighbor held a fairly transparent presidential election. He said as the country prepares for by-elections next month, the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission must consider reform so that it can distribute the voters' roll to stakeholders freely and that journalists and observers are accredited free of charge to ensure transparency. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer look at President Robert Mugabe's ability to lead Zimbabwe at the age of 90.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
U.S. President Barack Obama praised the Dalai Lama as a man of compassion, ignoring China's protest against any American involvement with the exiled Tibetan spiritual leader.
And Cameroon says at least 91 civilians have been killed by Boko Haram since the Nigerian militants invaded Cameroon villages on Wednesday. Defense Minister Edgard Alain Ngoh told a VOA reporter that 6 Cameroonian soldiers and 13 Chadian soldiers have also died in clashes with the gunmen in and around the border town of Fotokol.
The 24th African Union Summit ended in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, at the weekend with a strong call for women empowerment in Africa as a step towards achieving the goals of Agenda 2063, the continent's blueprint for development in the next 50 years. At the helm of the efforts to change the face of Africa is AU Commission Chairperson Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, who says women and their youth are Africa's greatest asset as it moves towards greater development. VOA Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira caught up with Dlamini-Zuma after the summit to speak about her personal road to the top as a woman.
I must say that I'm getting a lot of support from other women Not only now, I got a lot of support when I was running, difficult as it was, but they were very supportive. Even now, they are very supportive. I was just telling some young people, they were asking me, what do I think I did to get to where I am? Mm-hmm. And I was saying to them, I'll mention a few things. One, I listened to my parents. Two, I also listened to them when they said education was important. Mm-hmm. But three, I joined organizations, youth organizations when I was young, women's organizations, freedom, political parties, freedom movements. At the time, I joined the ANC. Because I was saying that all those things shape who you are.
But what were the challenges that you met along the way, and would you attribute those challenges that they came because you were a woman?
Well, a lot of the challenges were just challenges that a black person in South Africa, they applied to every black person. But there were challenges that also applied specifically to women, whether it's just in the home, because in the home, where there's no running water, where there's no electricity, it's usually the girls that go and fetch water, that look for firewood. But also, in some homes, girls are not looked at as equal value with boys. But I was fortunate myself, because both my parents treated us equally.
That was African Union Commission Chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma speaking with Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira. The theme of the summit was Women Empowerment Towards Agenda 2063.
Some Zimbabweans are questioning President Robert Mugabe's ability to rule the country at the age of 90 while running the African Union as well as his family. Critics say the president, who has been in power for more than 34 years, has not transformed most of his policies since independence, when he embraced the concept of Marxism-Leninism used to win the war of the 1970s against the settler government of the late Rhodesian leader Ian Douglas Smith. They say Mr. Mugabe has overstayed in power and cannot bring any meaningful change to a nation whose economy is collapsing due to lack of foreign direct investment and other factors. His fall at the Harare airport yesterday after addressing his supporters soon after arriving home from Ethiopia, where he assumed the African Union chair, has set both conventional and social media on fire. For Perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to international relations expert Clifford Mashiri and former Deputy Information Minister and ZANU-PF member Bright Matonga. Matonga says the fall of Mr. Mugabe is water under the bridge.
Naturally, normally when a head of state falls, it's big news, but it cannot be the all and all. It was an unfortunate incident. He fell down, he got up. And now he's busy at work. He was in cabinet managing national business and African business and international business.
Mr. Mashiri, your view on what happened yesterday to President Robert Mugabe?
Yes, what happened to President Mugabe, he is very, very old and he is frail. It is a sign that, you know, he is not in control of himself, and that it's time he should pass on the leadership to someone else, and in a transparent way, not in the way that he is doing it in his party. It's not very transparent. It's very important that Zimbabweans know who is going to take over from him, and it should be known by the whole world, which will inspire investors so that they know they are investing in a country that is stable and that is moving forward. As it is, by falling down like that, investors are afraid they will hold back their investment.
Dr. Matonga, your response there, because it can't be denied that the fall has caused a big stir. What does this mean for Mugabe and also the country as a whole, if anything?
No, I'm surprised that Mr. Mashiri says if anything happens today, nothing is going to happen, and nothing happened. The Constitution is very clear that if a sitting head of state, if anything happens, if falls sick and he can't manage government business, or if he dies, which he won't at the moment, it's the first vice president who takes over. So there won't be any power vacuum. You'll be the acting president for 90 days, and the party that is in power then chooses the next president. So really, for anyone to say investors won't come, where are they going? Zimbabwe has got the resources, and they know that. And people can laugh, and that's the end of it. Yeah, he's fallen down and he got up. Who hasn't? George Bush did that many times. Ronald Reagan, Barack Obama, young as he was, he fell. Recently, Gillard, Prime Minister of Australia, she fell down. It's not a secret that he's 91 years old. That's old, and he's one of the oldest presidents. He's not the oldest president in the world, but he was voted into power. And he's now the chairman of the AU African Union because all the 54 heads of state voted for him.
He was not voted into the AU position. It's just a ceremonial leadership role. So let's not confuse people and tell them, you know, this propaganda that Mugabe was elected by the African Union. No, he wasn't.
Mr. Mashiri, people are concerned that Mr. Mugabe might be doing too much as he's the chair of SADC, as he's the chair of AU. Did this show any sign to that, the issue of fatigue, the issue of age?
Definitely falling itself, whilst other people may want to dismiss it like that, it should not have come at a time when he was coming from the African Union, where he was so tired, because this was very taxing work for him. And he had also just arrived from Singapore and so on. So it's a lot of work for him to be a leader of Zimbabwe, a leader of SADC, and the leader of the whole African Union, and be attending to all that business. It's stressful.
Dr. Matonga, your response there.
People are entitled to their own views, but really the crux of the matter is that we have to take Zimbabwe to the next level. And what is the next level? People need good health, good living, education, affordable housing, affordable social amenities. This is what people are looking for. They want to be empowered, and things have got to be done properly and in a transparent manner. That's what we're looking for as Zimbabweans.
That was international relations expert Clifford Mashiri. You also heard from former Deputy Information Minister and ZANU-PF member Bright Matonga.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts on the Women's Roundtable will be talking with listeners and experts about cancers affecting women.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. Now to recap today's top stories.
Before we recap, Chris, maybe you can remind our listeners that Studio 7 is now available on Channel Zim on your WizTech free-to-air decoder from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Monday to Friday, and from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. From your WizTech decoder, look for Channel Zim. Channel Zim is available 24/7 on your satellite TV, smartphone, and online. To listen online, go to www.channelzim.net. Now we can close, Chris.
Zimbabwe's Central Bank Governor John Mangudya says any salary increments in the country at this stage will choke the ailing economy, projected to grow this year by at least 3%.
Movement for Democratic Change founding president Morgan Tsvangirai today urged churches to speak out against human rights violations and other injustices in Zimbabwe without taking sides in political issues.
And ZANU-PF says the conflict about lawmaker Munyaradzi Kereke's eligibility as a member of parliament has been resolved and will not be further entertained.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.